Hey fans, welcome to this week's edition of the Yellow Jacket Experience. I'm your host, Thomas Poole, Director of Athletic Communications here at AIC. Joining me this week is student athlete Jennifer Hackett of the women's soccer team. We'll discuss this current season as well as her involvement in the athletic department over the past 3 years. We're also joined by head cross-country and track and field coach Leo Mayo. We discuss the team's upcoming NE10 championship race, as well as how he was able to build AIC into the track and field powerhouse that it is today. Our first guest today is senior soccer student athlete Jen Hackett. Thanks for joining us, Jen.
Thank you for having me.
So this season, it's been a little bit of up and down season. You guys are 5-7-1 overall. You opened the season with, or the opening weekend, with a 1-1 outcome. You beat Stack 3-0 and then fell to Mercy 2-1. Can you talk about that opening weekend and some of the tones that were set early, especially in that 3-0 win?
Yeah, that opening weekend was definitely a very interesting and exciting weekend for us. After that first win, we definitely saw a lot of players step up and be influential players for us. We had two people score for that game, and we knew that we had a lot of potential. We played really well, and even though we fell to our second game against Mercy, we definitely saw the potential very early on for us.
So then that Mercy game started an unfortunate run of a three-game losing streak, including a 3-1 loss against number 12, St. Rose, obviously a hard-fought opponent. But you guys were able to bounce back at the first game of your Florida trip against Florida National as you won that game 4-0. Can you talk a little bit about that Florida trip and what that has done to your camaraderie and your team spirit overall since you had that opportunity to go down and play some really good teams?
Yeah, that Florida trip was definitely a really cool experience and a great opportunity for us as a team to bond together and just be able to play somewhere where we're not used to playing. It was definitely different, a different experience than what we're used to. We went down there, we played a team that we had no background information on. We knew little about or their conference or anything like that. So it was definitely nice for us to go there, bond together as a team, and be able to get the win that we needed to get that we haven't gotten in a couple games.
Now, we obviously know that one of the best parts of both those trips is leaving not as good weather to go down to the nice sun, really spend that time, I guess, on the beach. I know that's something that everyone likes to do, but how much of that trip was also as much of a team building experience and off the pitch compared to actually what was happening on the pitch?
Yeah, that was a really big crucial part for us. We have such a big team. Team bonding is hard to do with our schedules and so much soccer and everything going on. But we were able to go to the beach. We were able to bond, and it was really nice putting soccer aside and almost coming together as a family like we usually do, and getting to know each other on a deeper level so that, hopefully we can understand each other better and be a better team.
So this week it's been you had two home games. The first game was against Adelphi University, a game that you had a fantastic goal that made its round on social media, ESPN SportsCenter and such. Can you talk about what it's like having that big shot and sort of what was going through your head, your positioning on the field, and what was going through your head after it went in?
Yeah, it's definitely it's an awesome feeling. I never would have imagined me scoring a goal like that or even ending up on SportsCenter. We haven't beaten Adelphi in about 6 years at home, so it was an unreal experience. We knew what we had to get done, and we did it, and we outplayed them. And that goal, I just saw the opportunity, and I just struck it, and I had no, second guesses about it. And I saw it go in the goal, and I was just like, I knew it, and it was an awesome experience. It's great to get recognized, and overall, though, it was just an awesome win for us. It was memorable for sure.
So since this is an audio format and not a visual one, can you walk us through a little bit, talk us about that goal, where you shot it from, and I guess the reaction of the goalie and your teammates' reaction as well?
Yeah, so it was a deflection on their end of the field, and it was about 30 yards out, and I just took a touch. I didn't really have much pressure, and I just hit it, and it went top right corner. The goalie didn't even have a chance, it looked like. She wasn't really even noticed I would shoot it, and everyone was just, we were all shocked. I couldn't even believe I made that goal. It's definitely not a range that I would usually shoot from, but mm-hmm. I saw the opportunity and I knew I needed to take it. And we were all ecstatic. All my teammates came running to me, jumping, and I was just in shock. I walked back, and I couldn't even imagine that I made that. But, yeah.
So you followed that up with a game against Bentley. Bentley is always a team that we fight hard against, and it just depends on the game, who's able to get that final touch. And unfortunately, it was Bentley. It was in the past, or in the last, 5 minutes or so. Can you talk about that hard-fought game? There's obviously some physical toughness and some jockeying around in there. Can you talk about the game from your perspective as a player?
Yeah, so we knew that Bentley was going to be a hard game last year when we went to Bentley. You know, they gave us a really good game, and they played very well. And so we knew that this would be an important W for us, especially coming off a high with Adelphi. And first half, we controlled the possession. I thought that we played very well. We are distributing the ball and doing everything that we should be doing, other than the last piece is scoring. Mm-hmm. And so we came back into the second half, hopefully with that intention, and things took a little turn. And unfortunately, they were able to get that point right before the game ended, and we weren't able to clinch it. But it was an overall, it was a good game. It was a good fight.
Awesome. Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Obviously, I know that you're actually very involved with the athletic department on many different fronts, starting with the work study. And then I know you interned a little bit with John DeAndrade, who has now moved on to another position. Can you talk about what it's been like for you over these past 3 years, and I guess you're finally in your senior year, and the legacy that you hope to leave here at AIC?
Yeah, this has been a crazy experience, and one that I definitely wouldn't take back. Working for work study and being able to work for the games instead of playing in the game is definitely an awesome experience. Knowing what it takes for our games to just happen is really mm-hmm. cool. And then on the other side, working behind the scenes in athletics is also a good experience. I would have never imagined everything that everyone does or what it takes for sports games and everything just to happen in athletics and college D2 soccer and the department in general. So they were definitely cool perspectives that I would have never thought that I could have imagined or me even doing. And I'm really grateful for them.
Yeah, and what are some of those things that have really stood out to you?
So obviously working for my work study job that I really do enjoy is just everything that it takes to get into, you know, formulate the game and all the things that you guys have to do, broadcasting and everything like that. I would have never imagined it takes all that much work. And then working for John was also like an experience in itself, realizing all the implications that, you know, come along with it, all the budgeting that everyone has to do, mm-hmm. all the planning. And just those things were just amazing experiences for me. All of the time and dedication the coaches have to take to figure out what they can provide us with, whether it's equipment and everything like that, or, you know, just different financial needs. And it's a cool experience for sure.
Now, also, have you been a member of the SAC?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that and why having that student athlete advisory committee is actually a huge thing for student athletes, and I guess what the role is for that organization in general?
Yeah, so the student advisory committee is definitely plays a huge role, and I knew I wanted to be a part of it. I just attended a couple meetings when I was a freshman sophomore year, and I knew I mm-hmm. wanted to get involved. I loved the connection between the students and the power that the students could have just by their word of mouth. And as of right now, I'm the vice president of SAC, and I really do enjoy it. We do a lot of things to give back to the community and to help other people out in need. And I think it's really awesome that we can help the students better their experience here at AIC by us and not by faculty or anyone else. And we always offer people to come in and with their ideas, and it's cool to see that ideas that we've had have actually happened and they've worked, and it's a really exciting piece that we have here.
So for those who aren't familiar with SAC, can you give sort of, I guess, the overall view of, if you had to say it and accompany what it is in two sentences, what would it be?
Yeah, so SAC is a organization we have here at AIC that is a committee based on athletes that try to better the experience and the needs that the athletes have here for their 4 years of college.
Now, also, it's not just AIC in general. There's also each individual NCAA institution has their own SAC committee as well. And then the NE10 has a SAC committee, correct? So what have you interacted with any of the other SAC members from other schools in the conference?
Yeah, so we have we have committees and we all try to interact, and we have global, and we have also within our NE10 league things that we try to do as a SAC, certain movements and things like spreading awareness, social awareness, things like that, that we all try to do together to provide, you know, more information and awareness for people. Yeah, for sure.
So you're able to take all these experiences that you've had and use that to better the experience for the student athletes who are just now coming in. If you had a piece of advice for the student athletes coming in, obviously you've had the work study aspect, you've had the internship aspect, and then you've also had the SAC aspect of the student athlete and the student life and really the college experience. What would your advice be to someone who's coming in brand new to becoming a college student or student athlete, especially given the experiences that you've been given?
Yeah, so my advice would be definitely to get involved. I think it's the best thing that I've done is to broaden my horizons and get involved with as many things and people as I could. I've made some really good connections with some faculty, coaches, and students, as well as, you know, on the aspect of student athletes and connecting with them. And I've had some great experiences and also some opportunities that I would have never imagined having if I didn't go out of my comfort zone and get involved with things. So for sure, I think it's very important to get involved in things that you truly care about. And, you know, other doors will open and there'll be new paths that you could never expect that you would have, for sure.
And I think that's something that's interesting about AIC is that there are a lot of opportunities for the students to really get involved and get that real life experience that I don't think you get, especially at other Division One or at Division One institutions. Can you talk about how important that was to you and I guess sort of how you ended up going after these different positions?
Yeah, so it was obviously very important to me. I soon realized that AIC is a close, tight-knit college, and it's nice to have personal relationships with everyone, whereas other bigger colleges, you wouldn't have had that experience. So I'm definitely very grateful for my choice here to be at AIC. Everyone wants to make the student experience better. Everyone the staff is here to make, you know, everything as a positive aspect as they can. And it's a great experience, but, I definitely took a lot out of my 4 years, and I don't regret my, decision of coming to AIC at all.
So getting back to soccer a little bit, how did you get started in the game of soccer, and can you take us from that start all the way through, I guess, your senior year of high school?
Yes, so I live in a town that is filled with soccer, and that's basically the main sport we play. My family, they've all grown up playing soccer, so I was kind of born with a soccer ball at my foot, and I've always really loved it. My two sisters played it, and we always just enjoyed it in the backyard. And as I got older, I found to like it more and more and wanted to get in a more competitive game. And so I started playing travel soccer, and then I started playing high school, and I knew that I couldn't end my senior year without having something more. And so I knew that I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to play, and I wanted to further my education, and I knew it was something that was going to be really important for me and something that I wasn't willing to let go yet.
So then talk about your recruiting experience, I guess. When did AIC get involved? Were they one of the first schools, or did they come in the middle, late? How was that experience for you, and how did you ultimately end up at AIC?
Yeah, so it was a little bit of a different recruiting experience than most. I was fortunate enough to have Issa and assistant coach Cassie as my coaches for my travel team, and I really liked their coaching style. I was really dedicated to them, and I was going through, you know, looking at colleges and seeing where I wanted to go, and I was like, I want to go a little farther. I don't want to stay so local. And then Issa was like, come try it out. You'll like it. Come to AIC. You'll like it. And I never realized I would stay so close. And so then I came for my recruiting visit, and I just fell in love with the campus. All the girls on the team made it seem like such a family, and the coaches were there, and I knew what was expected to coming in, and I just liked that comfortableness, and AIC was just the right choice for me.
So it sounds like you had a fairly good, I mean, you obviously had the relationship with both of them
of
coming
course.
To AIC, so that made your transition a little bit easier. You're not too far from home, so once again, you're not having to worry about homesickness, I guess, because you're just a nice little John away. Was that something that you took into consideration, and were your parents very much supportive of your decision to go into AIC rather than, I guess, helping you go a farther distance?
Yeah, so they were very supportive of that decision. I thought it was very important for my family to come and watch my games because that is something they do like to do, and they still do. They come to all my games. Mm-hmm. So it was very important that wherever I went, my parents would be able to come watch me play because I know they do enjoy that. So that was a huge part for me, and I thought, why not? And we have a very close family, so if I ever were to get homesick per se, I could always go home and have a nice cooked meal, and it was the right choice for sure.
So if there's been one thing during your time at AIC that really stands out or that's your favorite part, what would that be? And you don't have to say athletic communications just because we're talking.
Honestly, one of the biggest things I can remember from my freshman year to now is just the soccer team has really helped me feel even more at home than I am. We truly were and are a family from my freshman year to now, and I've met my closest friends and people that I can call my family through the staff and through the team, and I don't think my college experience would have been quite the same without them, and I'm very mm-hmm. grateful for them.
So as we're rounding things out, the same question I ask every single person, what moment in life has influenced you the most?
Yeah, so I've had some moments, but one moment in life that influenced me the most definitely was I knew that I wanted to play soccer in college. I knew that I wanted to continue my experience, but I struggled with a lot of injuries, and I knew that coming into college, I already had one knee injury. I've now had three surgeries, and I knew that that was something that I was going to struggle with, but I knew that I didn't want to end my career. I knew that I wanted to keep playing, and that simply wasn't an option. So I knew that this was something that I was always going to struggle with. It's nothing that was going to go away, but I wouldn't regret this experience, and I wouldn't regret anything that has happened to me. It just opens my eyes and makes me more grateful for what I've achieved and what is yet to come. And being a senior, it's surreal knowing that I only have, you know, maybe a month left, but I'm grateful for pushing through all the times that I thought that I wasn't going to be able to step on the field and be able to still play. So that was definitely a huge turn point, is getting my first knee surgery, and then freshman year of college, my second knee surgery, and then my senior year is my third knee surgery. So definitely those surgeries give me a realization that, you know, you can't take every game for granted. You can't take every practice for granted, and that you got to do what you love to the fullest.
So, I mean, I think that's been a common thread, and I've loved the way that you approached it was taking something that would be a negative for a lot of people, being able to ball that up and really overcome that obstacle. And I think that that's really been a common theme that we've seen among other people is, to me, there's two types of moments in life that influence you the most. It's something great that happens, or it's a low when you come in upon it. And it's really about how you rebound and how you react to that to really get your mindset right and get to the next level. And I love the way that you've been able to do that.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for joining us, Jen, and we appreciate it. And good luck this weekend as you guys hit the road to take on Franklin Pierce on Tuesday and then also the University of New Haven on Saturday.
Thank you for having me.
Our second guest today is head coach of the track and field and cross country programs, Leo Mayo. Thanks for joining me, Leo.
Thank you for having me.
So talking about, let's start with the men this season. Obviously a lot of potential coming in. You lost Leaky Kipkaske, a dominant force in the East region, and then even nationally was a very competitive runner on the cross-country side. Can you talk a little bit about what life has been like cross-country-wise after Leakey?
So we've worked really hard in recruiting. Our staff really stepped on the gas in this summer and last spring looking for middle distance and distance runners that can come in right away. And that we are seeing the fruits of our labor is that we've had the biggest cross-country roster that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. We have some depth. We have some talent, some young athletes as well. And the future looks great for us.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about those incoming freshmen or newcomers to your program?
So we have Ezra Mutai, who's running really well. We have Titus Kiptu and McGregor Cox, great student athletes, each in their own right, great as far as middle distance, anywhere between the 1500 all the way up to the 5K as far as their talents. So again, they're looking to score some points and replace the student athletes that we've lost in the past.
Mm-hmm. Switching over to the women for just a moment, same type of thing. You've a program who's always constantly building, taking the next step year after year. What have you seen from them so far this year, and what are you expecting from them, I guess, this upcoming weekend?
We see a great foundation. We see a lot of student-athletes this year specifically come together, building that team dynamic, holding each other accountable, and really taking their running as a priority. And in building each practice, each week they're getting bigger and stronger, being able to put more a little bit more mileage together. So We're pretty excited about what the women's team and what we're going to be able to do in the future.
So you had a couple really good outcomes for them, especially in the first 2 weeks of the season. First week you were at Trinity College, they finished 4th of 8th. I guess a really good opportunity for you guys to see what you guys are really made of or what the girls are really made of. And then at Elms College, you guys were able to take the crown. Can you talk about those first two races and how they prepared you for the race at Central Connecticut and then also the James Early invite over at Westfield?
So going into the season for both teams, we looked at it as the full season, using each meet as a building block for the next meet in regards to what we're trying to do by the end of the season. And the focus is the conference championship, regional championship, and potentially national championship. So we really utilized the summer training and built off of that, and then we came in and used the past 5 or 6 weeks to really move us forward to the next 6 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm. So jumping back to the guys a little bit, Any 10s, a dominant race or a dominant race that you guys have had in the past, obviously Leakey, four-time reigning champion, not going to have him this year. Do you have someone who you think is going to come up and take what he started and continue the AIC dominance at that top spot for the individual?
I would hope. We have some talented athletes that have been working hard, that have been showing some things in practice, that what they're capable of. So I think we have, 3 to 5 guys that could potentially win a Northeast 10 title. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for them to work as a pack, work as a team. And again, it'd be great to have the individual winner, but it's also even better to get back to winning as a team as well.
Well, and that's something you guys have really missed in the past couple of years is you've been close, and obviously Stonehill, Southern Connecticut, some other programs have had some really good athletes and really pushed you all. But it's really just falling a little short here and there. What do you think that has been in the past, and do you think that's something you guys will correct this year?
It's just a matter of staying healthy. Again, cross-country is getting to the championships, like any sport, getting to the championship season healthy. Mm-hmm. And the past couple of years, we've always had one or two athletes that just weren't quite healthy and weren't able to perform the way we needed. And they still worked really hard and came away as a, I think, runner-up or top three. But the goal is to compete for Northeast 10 title this year as well.
Well, and you and I have had conversations offline about conference is obviously a huge deal, but at the same time, you want to make sure your athletes are literally hitting their stride for conference, regional, and nationals. Do you feel like you guys are almost there in terms of hitting that stride for both teams at this point?
I do. I think the men's team and the women's team are a little bit different in the fact that we have a larger roster on the men's side than the women's roster. Mm-hmm. But our talent, we have some front runners that are really talented, and again, it's about developing that pack. And, running and collegiate cross-country running and collegiate running in general for middle distance and distance it's a year-long thing from middle of August to the end of May. And so even though we want to run well in cross-country in October, November, we're also looking to run fast track times in March and May. So each student athlete, there's so many other variables as far as which event they run. Mm-hmm. And so that's a priority as well. So coming up, we're hoping that our athletes are ready, and I think we've done a really good job.
Something I've always been interested in is the transition from cross-country to the indoor track. How especially in the past years where you've had a team go to the national cross-country meet, what's your recovery and transition into track look like for those specific athletes?
So it's a little bit different for everybody. Again, each athlete, whether you have your 5K, 10K based runner or your 800, 1500 runner, we are able to focus their training. If they're feeling really healthy after cross country, we might try to run some track races and utilize that strength that we've been building up for the past 12 weeks. Or if they're tired and kind of banged up a little bit, we will rest and utilize that and be able to run well come January when the indoor season carries over second semester.
So as we transition a little bit, talking about yourself, obviously the only coach in AIC history for cross country track and field, can you talk a little bit about, I guess, how you got started in this realm? Was it something you competed at high school and then college and then made the transition, or how did you really start your career in cross country track and field?
I was an all-around athlete in high school. I played football, basketball, baseball as a freshman, and and I think a lot of track athletes kind of fall into track or cross-country running when they weren't quite as good in other sports, and we've been able to grow into what we end up being, whether you're a jumper, you're a sprinter, distance runner, which I was. And so going into college, I had emailed the coach and basically said, hey, I'm coming in. I ran high school track. I played high school football, so I never ran high school cross-country. Very green to the sport. And he said, well, you're going to run cross-country? I said, sure. It sounds like, you know, I might like it.
Yep.
And I think my college coach did a very good job of feeding the fire and being competitive. And I think that's – having done multiple sports my entire life, it just kind of carried over to coaching and running in college as well, is that you have to work really hard, hold yourself accountable, work hard when nobody else is – when you have to assume everyone else is working. And so you have to work hard. You know, we don't have the luxury back then of social media, so you just had to work really hard.
Yep.
And so, again, that's the same thing in coaching. If you want to be a competitive coach and have a competitive program, you have to work really hard in recruiting and holding kids accountable and, you know, academically and things like that.
So then after you graduated college, what was your job that you got immediately after? And then how did you eventually come on to AIC full-time?
So I was a phys ed major, and I knew that I wanted to get my phys ed degree. And so I went right into teaching right away, right out of college, and enjoyed that. And luckily enough, there was a coworker of mine that was already coaching high school football and high school track, and he had a few middle distance and distance runners that needed some coaching. And I didn't want to quite get into coaching. I already had, you know, things situated with a good job and everything like that. So he just said, come over, talk with the kids, and he kind of tricked me into becoming a coach. He, you know, introduced me to the entire team, and I kind of had the coaching bug. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed helping others, you know, enjoy the sport that I enjoyed for so long, and, you know, helping student athletes at the high school level go on to college and get a degree and use their running to get that college degree. And now we're on the flip side. Here at AIC, you know, there was an opportunity that was open. They didn't have a coach at the time, and they didn't have a track, and I thought it would be a huge challenge, and I'm not one to shy away from hard work, and I really enjoyed the opportunity that Rich Bedard and Matt Johnson and Vince had given me. And I take, you know, the conference and the college very seriously, and I hold them in high regard in representing them, you know, at the conference level and the national level.
So obviously there's a huge difference between your first year here and where you are now. Besides the facilities and the student athletes, what has really been the biggest change from year one to 2019?
I think, you know, we have to start with the quality of the student athlete. You know, we in my first couple of years, we were recruiting everybody. And again, we have standards each year that we're trying to bring in a stronger and faster student athlete. And I think it's because of our success, we're getting athletes to contact us. And it's just, I think that's the biggest change. You know, before I had to call everybody. I was calling, you know, California and Florida and Texas and just trying to find the student athletes that and build a buzz around AIC and track and field. And I think we've done a pretty good job of becoming a designation for or destination for a lot of student athletes. And they want to compete here. They grow here as a student athlete, and they go on to great careers.
Now, we obviously know in track and field there's obviously some special paths that different coaches have. You have your distance, you have your sprints, jumps, throws. What's your main focus? Obviously, you're over everything, but what's your main focus and what do you like to teach the most?
So I like to work with the middle distance runners and distance runners, but I've enjoyed, you know, coaching our high jumpers in the past. We've had some successful high jumpers. I enjoy track and field. I think developing a program I don't want to be specific. You know, we've had some success in middle distance and cross country, in sprints, but we've had, you know, all Americans in almost every event, which is great. And, but again, I just enjoy track and field. And I think going to a track meet and watching athletes perform at a high level and utilize that confidence they take from the experiences that we provide and carry that on to the real world is kind of what we're looking to do.
Mm-hmm. And obviously this does not happen without fantastic assistant coaches.
Correct.
Obviously you've had quite a few throughout the years. Can you talk a little bit about what some of those what you've learned from some of those different assistant coaches and then also your coaching staff that you currently have?
So we've had, again, I think working with great people, again, it's been, and that's what we offer here at AIC, from administration to professors to the coaching staff here, is that we have great people here that generally care about kids and giving them opportunities to grow. And mm-hmm. I think every assistant coach that I've gotten to work with has brought that to the table. You know, we've had that same, we've all in the interview process come across as, let's help people, and whether it's on the track, academically, that's kind of like what we look to do as a staff. And I think even the staff I have, you know, we have a great range of staff from, you know, Matt Jacobson, who's graduated from Bowdoin recently, Logan Sharp, who was a Northeast 10 All-American and conference champion, and Rich Hart. It's just a great staff, and I think all of our experiences are a little bit different, but we bring something different to the table.
Well, I think it's interesting as well with Logan, someone who is very familiar with the conference, obviously competed in the conference, but also went on to coach in the conference. How's it like having someone else who's been at the helm of a track and field program, mm-hmm. cross-country program, to be able to bring that experience on and to really help you as a head coach?
It's great because he gets to see things, as you know, from the former student athlete within the conference, and mm-hmm. and again, every year is a little bit different within the conference. We've lost in the past couple of years, you know, I believe two teams, Bryant and now Merrimack, have left the conference. So, you know, we're still looking at the strong programs that have, you know, we always have to look out for as far as trying to compete with them, Stonehill and Southern Connecticut. You know, Southern Hampshire is growing on a daily basis. Assumption, the same thing. Franklin Pierce. So again, each year is a little bit different. You know, a couple athletes from one event will graduate, and but somebody else will come in. So again, we see the same things. A lot of coaches within the conference have been coaching a while. So mm-hmm. It's great. The Northeast 10 is a strong conference.
So digging a little bit deeper into who you are personally, what's the most interesting or fun talent that you think that you have?
Well, something interesting is I have an Australian Shepherd, and mm-hmm. we work on catching a Frisbee. I enjoy, you know, taking him out to the park and throwing a Frisbee. It's just kind of fun and relaxing. His name's Chance, and he was a rescue. So, again, just enjoying spending time with my kids and my family, my two boys, and my wife. It's, you know, we enjoy hiking. Went to Mount Tom a couple weekends ago, and again, but that's just, you know, something funny. I have an Australian Shepherd, and I taught him to catch a Frisbee, and it's fun. So
I know in the past that you've spent a lot of time with your kids. Obviously, that's a huge priority for you. And we just always like hearing those stories of our coaches making sure they have that balance of make sure they're building that family at home as well as here at school as well, because we obviously know that in the grand scheme of things, we're all one big family. What's something that you've learned from starting a family personally that you've been able to bring to, I guess, your organization, your program, to really help take that family atmosphere to the next level?
I think the biggest thing is just genuinely caring, you know, being sincere. And mm-hmm. that's something that we do at home with the kids and my wife. And you carry that over here, is that you're letting them know it's not just about running fast and jumping high and going to nationals. It's generally goes deeper. You're building lifelong relationships. A lot of alumni still reach out, and I'm still in contact with as they're, you know, growing, getting married, having children of their own. I think that's just being genuine and being a sincere coach, you know, will fuse a great dynamic here at AIC.
Mm-hmm. So as we wrap things up, the one question I ask every single person who comes on the show, which I always think is very interesting, very telling of the person, is what moment in life has influenced you the most?
I think, you know, it's a good question. I've been thinking about it for a while that you said you'd mentioned it. Is, you know, I'm not sure if it's one moment or moments, but again, I think who I am professionally is, you know, and even as a parent, is someone that had, you know, had to take advantage of every opportunity. So going to Central Connecticut, you know, being very new to the sport, mm-hmm. And having a coach, and my coach was he was a military man, and his name was John Kelleher, and he was very straight-laced. He was very focused on, you know, holding people accountable academically and athletically. And so I think the one moment was, you know, he had told me how talented I was and what I was going to be able to be as a potential student athlete. And so he made sure I maintained my academics. So I think it was a conversation with saying, you know, you can achieve a lot more in this sport and that it can carry over to your future. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. Mm-hmm. But in my conversations with my student athletes is that track and field is not only about getting a contract with Nike or Adidas or Puma and going on to the Olympics. Running can do so much more for you, whether it gets you into college or gets you through college, is that you can take that. And again, I'm a collegiate cross-country and track and field coach. It's my career. It's what I enjoy to do. And running is what got me here. And so I guess that's kind of, you know, if there is one thing about that, I guess I hope that kind of answers your question.
Yeah, it always does. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Coach, and good luck this weekend at the Northeast 10 Championships on Sunday, October 27th in Syracuse, New York.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us on this week's edition of the Yellow Jacket Experience. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Poole. Be sure to join us this weekend for homecoming. Quite a busy weekend. On Friday, October 25th at 3:30 p.m., men's soccer will take on Southern Connecticut. At 5 o'clock, there will be a campus tour as well as class reunion meet and greets, and that will take place in the admissions office. At 6 o'clock will be the 9-year reunion dinners, and that will be happening in the Campus Center Auditorium. AIC alumni can attend for free, and all guests are $25. On Saturday, October 26th, at 8:30 a.m. will be an alumni softball game at Judy Groff Field. At 9 o'clock, there will be alumni meet and greet and continental breakfast in the O'Donnell Hall of Fame. Also at 9 a.m. will be the alumni baseball game at Richard Bedard Field. At 9:30, the volleyball program will be hosting their alumni game as well. At 10:30, we will be dedicating the new baseball and softball scoreboards. Make sure you're in the athletics parking lot at 10:30 for that event. Also at 10:30, the alumni hospitality tent will open on the end zone of Ronald J. Abdow Field, as well as the Yellow Jackets Club end zone, which is sponsored by the Alumni Varsity Club. Kickoff for this weekend's football game is 11 a.m. against Franklin Pierce University. At 2:30 p.m., there is a post-game football reception in the Stinger Pub. At 3:45, field hockey will be hosting Adelphi on senior night. At 4 p.m., the volleyball team will be hosting St. Michael's College in Henry A. Butova Gymnasium. At 5 o'clock, the men's lacrosse alumni will be having a reception at Rumble Seat. Just a friendly reminder, the tailgate lot closes at 6 p.m., which happens to coincide with a young alumni event at Rumble Seat in Chicopee. And be sure to join us on Sunday, October 27th at 11 a.m. for the Aaron McNabb Class of 2011 Scholarship Brunch. This is an inaugural event for this, so please make sure to come on out as it's free of charge. Rounding out the weekend are a pair of lacrosse alumni games at 11 a.m. You have the women's lacrosse alumni game followed by the men's lacrosse alumni game at 1 p.m. We're excited to have you guys back on campus this weekend, and we'll see you next week.